There's someone across the aisle from you or the seat up or back from you that you're not quite sure their name or something like that. I want you to get acquainted here for a second. You know everybody around you. You may have to travel a little bit. All right. Well, how about it? Did you get acquainted with somebody you didn't know, or are we just rehashing old business? Praise God. Praise God. Well, we are thrilled and delighted to have the Dross family in service with us tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Linda Holder went to be with the Lord the latter part of last week, and that funeral will be here Saturday at 1 o'clock. She's a very quiet little lady, a fixture here on Sunday mornings, and I don't know, she would not intrude into your space and make herself known to you, but we'll be having a homegoing here on Saturday at 1 o'clock, and the church is involved in making a meal for the family afterwards. And so if you're inclined to be involved in ministry like that, you want to check with Sister Dakota or Sister Shirley, and there'll be quite a host of people here. That's a big family with a lot of siblings and scads of cousins, and it's a wonderful ministry for the church to stand in a place like that and to be a blessing to folks when they're going through a valley of trouble. Everyone say amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Dross, we're excited about you being here. This is the elder son of the apostle to Central America and Mexico, Brother Mark Dross, elder brother. And we're just delighted to have him. It's been a while since you've been with us. And we're excited about Sunday morning and the prospect. I'm just so glad y'all came in early enough for you to be in the pulpit tonight. Why don't you come and just tell us whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on your heart. Sister Danita, we're so glad that you're in the house. Now, is she going to preach or you? She can preach. God bless you, man. We're excited. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord today and feel his presence. Amen. And it's good to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Hallelujah. As I drove in to the city, we were really happy to be here. Amen. After 2.5 days of driving, we were happy to be here. Amen. And as we were coming in, my girls, my family, everybody was real excited. And, of course, this church holds a very dear spot in our hearts. And we consider this our home in Alabama. Praise God. And we're excited to be here. I want my wife to come, and she's going to say some words. Amen. And she's a really good preacher, way better than I am. Amen. She's the one that keeps me on the straight and narrow. Amen.
I don't think I do a very good job. We are so happy to be here. We drove into the city today, and it's just kind of like almost a feeling of coming home. That's how we feel about Birmingham and about this church. And you've been good to us, and we love each and every one of you. And the Suttons have always been so kind to us, and we truly appreciate them and love them so much. I'm just happy to be here. I don't know what else to say. I'm just glad to be here. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. And God is good all the time. Amen. As I was trying to figure out what to do tonight, I was asking Brother Sutton. I said, I really need to know what it is you want. And he just said, well, just relax and act like you're preaching in your church in Guadalajara. Amen. And so I just feel, I feel that here tonight. Amen. Now, if y'all could all speak in Spanish, that would really be perfect. Amen. Praise God. And I have not preached in English in 3 years. So if you don't make fun of my English, I won't make fun of your Spanish. Amen. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? But God has been really good. Guadalajara is a city of about 5 million people. And we've been working there now 2.5 years. And when we first arrived, there was only 3 churches in that city of 5 million. And today, we have 15 churches in Guadalajara. Praise God. Amen. We got a Bible school going, and a church that my wife and I are pastoring. We started about 1.5 years ago, brand new church. And now we're running about 120. So we're excited about what God's doing. Amen. And he's a good God. Amidst all kinds of turmoil and conflicts, and of course, y'all have heard Mexico's been in the news a lot on account of violence and different things like that. But, you know, it's in those times where you gotta not run away from the battle, but stay in it. And just believe that the God who saved you, the God who filled you with the Holy Ghost, is the same God that can keep you. Amen. Praise God. You say, praise the Lord. And so we're real excited. Next month we'll be starting our Bible school. And we're expecting about 80 students this year. And we're going to have 3 different levels, first, second, and third year. And in our Bible school program, we have 6 different levels. And so we're excited about that. And besides that, we're going to be having our national convention in Guadalajara. And we're expecting over 15,000 people in attendance. So God is good. We got our hands full, needless to say. Amen. But I'm excited about what God's doing here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, you got a wonderful pastor and their family and grandkids. I hadn't seen those kids in a long time. I mean, I left and there were just 2 babies, and now it has been fruitful and multiplied. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you'll stand with me. I won't be very long, and of course, I'm just going to. Normally on Wednesday, we have services every single day except for Monday. Church that I pastor, we have 6 different cell group meetings, and we have a service every single night, cell group meetings, except on Saturday, and usually Saturday, somewhere in the city, we're having some kind of a revival going. Amen, going on. And our goal is to have 30 baptized every single month in Guadalajara. And each pastor has to promise he's going to be baptizing a certain amount. We baptize, my promise is 5 a month. Amen. That's one every week. And so I'm just going to just relate, speak to you from my heart, something, amen, that I would normally teach my church, the church that I pastor in Guadalajara. Amen. So if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll be reading a very familiar portion of Scripture, maybe a little bit controversial, but we're not going to get into that aspect of it. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, and it's so good to see everybody. Just turn to your neighbor and smile real big and say, I like your hairdo. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If he doesn't have any hair, just smile and say, God bless you. Amen. Be kind. Praise God. Genesis chapter 6, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Amen. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. And they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. Amen. And I just want to focus on and teach a little bit on the daughters of men. Amen. The daughters of men. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that is always inspiring. It fills, amen, every vacancy in our lives. It fills, oh Lord, and it gives us power and strength to go on. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today, tonight, oh God, through the teaching of your word, that you will tailor the text for this time, for this purpose, for this need. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated in the house here tonight. Praise God. And we have before us a text that probably everybody has looked at and wondered. And I could safely say that throughout every age of the Christian era, even before the Christian era, this passage has been one of close scrutiny and study and debate amongst probably the most learned of men. Amen, especially in the Scriptures. It is a passage that presents a lot of questions that some feel are unanswered. Amen. To begin with, many people, the first thing that they ask, amen, is who were the sons of God? I've been teaching Bible school now for 22 years. And when I teach on the book of Genesis, it's one of my favorite books to teach on. And there always seems to, when I begin to teach on Genesis, there always seems to be one guy in the class that he just thinks he knows everything. Amen. And he thinks he's the only guy that has ever thought of this one question. And it's not too long. It's probably about an hour, maybe 2 hours into the teaching on Genesis, especially in the Bible school setting, that they come up with the question that they think they're the only ones who came up with it, and is where did Cain get his wife? Amen. And they sit there like, you know, hey, I got you. Amen. And after we answer that, one of the second questions that comes up is precisely this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 6. Who were the sons of God? Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? And there are other unusual things in the text. Number one, why was it so unusual that the sons of God appreciated the beauty per se or the fairness of the daughters of men? And why does it mention these giants? Why this union between the daughters of men and the sons of God produce giants? Amen. And when we look at that and analyze it, especially from the standpoint where here God is giving his reasons as to why he felt it necessary to destroy the world with a flood, it further complicates and it becomes more urgent for us to decipher who these sons of God were. Amen. That God looked from heaven and saw, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that the earth was filled with violence. Amen. And there was all just, that this world was in such chaos. And it's all because of this sons of God and daughters of men issue. Amen. And God here is explaining the reason why he decided to destroy the earth. So, and then Jesus himself said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be in the last days. So obviously we're going to be facing this very same issue. And so it becomes very relevant to our day and age for us to decide and really decipher who these sons of God are. And really it has caused such polemica, how do you say that? Debate, amen. So much so that there has been organizational splits and people have disfellowshipped each other based on what their interpretation is of these sons of God. Basically, there are four different schools that, amen, look at this particular interpretation. And number one is they believe that God not only created one couple, but created two or three different couples, and that the sons of God were one couple. One was created in Genesis chapter 1, and then another was created in Genesis chapter 2, of which we know their names to be Adam and Eve, and that Adam and Eve fell, but this other couple remained faithful, and as they were multiplying, they saw the daughters of Adam and Eve and decided to leave the paradise and go and marry these women that were descendants of Eve. Amen. And there's a lot of people that believe that. However, it causes a lot of problems. It has no biblical foundation per se. Amen. Another is that Adam and Eve actually had children in the garden before the fall. And Genesis chapter 3 verse 20, it clearly states that Adam called Eve and said to her that she was the mother of all living, and that he would multiply her birth pains. And if she didn't know what it was before, then how she would have known that it was a curse that her birth pains had been multiplied? Besides the fact, the Bible never says that Cain was Adam and Eve's firstborn son. Amen. And so many people think that these were children that Adam and Eve had in the garden, and the sons of God were them. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And eventually they came out of the garden and married the daughters of men that had a fallen nature. But again, that doesn't have a whole lot of biblical base. Another third option is that people believe that they were the godly line of Seth, that Cain, being an evil, wicked man and had fallen, amen, had daughters of men, Amen. And they had daughters. And so the godly line of Seth saw these fair ladies and decided it was a case of the unbeliever marrying the believer and coming out of that and then corrupting their own faith. And this has gotten a lot of popularity. In fact, it's one of the most popular interpretations as to who were the sons of God. Amen. Although it is a very popular, it doesn't answer several other questions, like if an unbeliever and a believer marry, why does it say here that they had giants? And it obviously was talking of men of great stature, not just of rank or becoming kings or stature in a social sense, but also in a physical sense. Amen. Because of these difficulties and other difficulties that can come with this interpretation, there is a fourth interpretation. And that is that these sons of God were fallen angels that cohabitated with human women. Amen. And because of that, they had, amen, sexual relationships. And out of these unions came these giants. And some will quote Jude chapter 6. And as proof in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as proof of this ideology and this interpretation. Amen. Furthermore, the word Nephilim, which is the word for giants, literally means those who from heaven have fallen. And if you go to Job chapter 1, we find that the phrase or amen, sons of God refers to angels. And so a lot of people feel, and basically it's between those two interpretations that you have such debates, whether the sons of God are angels or whether the sons of God are the godly line of Seth. A newer interpretation says that these were actually kings, that they chose amongst the most choice of women and marry them and what have you. But tonight, that's not the subject of the lesson. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. It really matters not what your interpretation is of who the sons of God are. And after church, you can ask me, but I won't tell you who I think they were. Amen. That's up to you. Can you say praise the Lord? That's not what we're looking at. What I want to focus is not so much on the sons of God, but on the daughters of men. What was it that the sons of God saw in the daughters of men that they decided to leave their holy estate, if we could say it that way, and cohabitate with these women? What was it that they decided to abandon their status as sons of God? What did they see in these daughters of men that the Bible talks about? Can you say praise the Lord? I don't know if I've done lost you or you can't keep up with this Mexican. Hallelujah, white Mexican. Turn to your neighbor and say, that white Mexican's crazy. Amen. Praise God. And you say, praise the Lord. When we look at this, we find that the book of Genesis is one of the most, perhaps I would even say, the most important book in the Bible. Sad to say, a lot of people, when they first convert to Christianity or become more interested in church, one of the first things that they like to study is the book of Revelations and try to figure out all the prophetic mysteries that there are in the Bible. And for some reason, God, and it's a good reason why God has put Revelations last and Genesis first. Amen. Because if you don't have a clear understanding of the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible just will not make sense to you. Amen. The book of Genesis is the book of origins. And The Greek, it means origins. It tells us where everything started. Amen. Tells us the beginning of the human race. It tells us the beginning of families, of marriages. Amen. Of languages, of different races of people where we come. In fact, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you can find explained every mystery, amen, that man is trying to decipher even today. UFOs, I mean, you name it. It can all be found in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Say amen or no amen, it's true anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the origin of languages, of cultures, and everything that comes into play in our society today. And to understand what we're going through today, we have to go back to the book of Genesis. One of the main problems with our society today is that they don't have a clear understanding that God is our creator. Amen. And sad to say, man today now has worshipped more the creation than the creator. And whatever you worship, you'll ultimately become. If you worship an animal, you'll become an animal. And that's the problem with our society today. We're saying we're a bunch of monkeys or simios. ¿Cómo se dice? Simios. Simios is just big monkeys. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And because of that, and because our children are being bombarded constantly, amen, you're nothing but a piece of protoplasma that washed up on the earth one day and had legs and evolved and all this kind of stuff. So life has got no meaning, or you come from a burp in the distant past, amen, an explosion, then life has got no meaning. But if you understand that God created the heavens and the earth, if you understand that God created you, and because he's such an intelligent being, amen, he didn't create you just to live on this earth and do whatever you want. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And amen, he's got a plan and a purpose for this church. He's got a plan and a purpose for your children. Amen. He said to Jeremiah, before, amen, antes que te conociera, man, this English, Lord have mercy. Amen. I don't know how y'all speak this all day. Amen. Praise God. Before I formed you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad when we get to heaven, we're all going to speak Spanish. So you might as well learn it right now. You say, praise the Lord. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you, before I made you, before I knit you together, I already knew you. And I gave you to be a prophet unto the nations. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Before your daddy winked at your mama, God already knew you. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And so Genesis is a book of origins. It tells us where we come from. It tells a lot of things about what happens in our society today. And when you go to Genesis chapter 3, it tells us the origin of sin and rebellion. Amen. How Adam and Eve fell. And then in chapter 4, amen, beginning in verse 16, we find, and if you'll just turn to me there at that chapter, amen, beginning in verse 16, we have the descendants of Cain. And here God is trying to explain to us a lot of things that are happening. You say, praise the Lord. And then these few verses from verse 16 on down through verse 26. Amen. It is very unusual, very, very unusual in Scripture for there to be, especially in genealogies, for there to be women mentioned. In fact, if you go over Genesis chapter 5, you won't see any of the women or any woman mentioned. Amen. It's mostly a man because the lineage comes through the man. But in chapter 4, verse 16, we have three women mentioned in the Bible. We have a woman named Ada. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right in English, but amen. That's verse 19 is Ada. And then Zila, hallelujah. And then in verse 22, we have Naama. I don't know. Hallelujah. Thank God when we get to heaven, we're all going to speak Spanish. Praise God. Amen. You'll even smile bigger when you speak in Spanish. Amen. Praise God. So we have these three women, Ada, Zila, and Naama. And when we look at these, they stand out because when we look into this genealogy, this culture that is described in just few little verses, amen, we get a glimpse or a picture of what that world was before God destroyed it. And the Bible says that as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's very relevant to our day today because we're living in the last days. Can you say praise the Lord? And so we have here that it was an idolatrous culture. Amen. Lamech, we find in verse 23 and verse 24 is called a Song of Lamech. That Lamech was a very bad man. We find the first a murderer, amen, was Cain. And from that came Lamech, the first polygamist. He had more than one wife. Praise God. Perhaps more than one wife is not that bad. Two mother-in-laws, though, that's bad. Amen. Hallelujah. You say praise the Lord. I don't think so. Amen. That's why Adam lived in paradise. No mother-in-law. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a good mother-in-law. She lives about 5,000 miles away. Amen. Praise God. We have Jubal, who was the first musician. You say praise the Lord. We have Tubal Cain, who was the first idolater. He worked in metals. Hallelujah. And so it was different. Amen. It was a different society. And in fact, if we look into extra biblical accounts, like the book of Jasher, which is also mentioned in the Bible, amen, when we go to extra biblical accounts, we find out that a lot of the sins that, amen, we have today originated in this early culture. Amen. They were inventors of sin. They came up with new ways to sin. Amen. In fact, the Bible says in Jude, amen, and of all the chapters in Jude, I suggest you go to chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. That they were inventors of evil. They came up with new ways to sin. And let me tell you something. We're living in that same society today. Amen. Now, there's a lot of new technologies that are being invented today. And I thank God for them. And they can be used for good. But they weren't invented for that. Amen. Hallelujah. It's to connect people together. Social medias and all kinds of stuff. Can you say praise the Lord? And more than anything, hallelujah, amen, thank God for men of God. But he can't be there beside you 24 hours policing you. You got to be a Christian where it really counts, when nobody is looking. Yeah. Praise God. But I got to get to my subject. Turn to your neighbor and say, that white Mexican hasn't got this subject yet. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have this Lamech. And when we read his song, we find that he was a very arrogant, proud man. He was a man that mocked God. He was a man that mocked God's institution of marriage and even mocked God's word. He was talking about, hey, I killed. And if we read other extra, we find out that he was the man who had killed Cain. But I'm not going to get into that. But he had two women, Ada and Zillah. And then Zillah had a daughter. Her name was Naamah. And it's these three women that I want to focus on. Not much is mentioned about them except their name. Their name is very important. And names in Bible are very important. Amen. Ada was Lamech's wife. And what stands out is her name. Her name comes from a Hebrew root word that signifies, amen, hallelujah, adornment, and especially adornment with metals. Can you say praise the Lord? She was a woman, amen, that came up with jewelry. She was the first one. Can you say praise the Lord? She put all kinds of earrings and all kinds of stuff. And then we have Zillah, which it comes from the root word salah, amen, which means movements, and especially, amen, physical movements. She was the first one that came up with dancing and all kinds of stuff. Her name also means shadows, and it shadows in the sense that she would apply certain shadows to her face to appear more sensuous. And then finally, amen, Naamah, who means pleasant or coquetona, como se dice, flirty, flirtatious, amen. So when we look into this old society, this original society, these inventors of evil, and we ask ourselves the question, what was it that the sons of God saw in these women, these daughters of men? Can you say praise the Lord? They decided to turn their back on their faith and knowing what's right and join themselves to them. Amen. Hallelujah. When these three women, we can find that there was a lack of holiness. There was a lack of biblical conviction to the word of God. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Where the word of God was just taken in vain and institutions were being mocked and being ridiculed. And let me tell you something, we're living in that society now. And more than any day before, we need to stand up and say it just as clear as we can say it. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God is still true. Amen. We might have a modern society, and it might be an old book, but it still works. And you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And because there was violence, you know, whenever you get into vanities, and you say, praise the Lord. And wearing of jewelry and all kinds of stuff, that just unleashes a whole bunch of other things. When you get into vanity, I got bigger toys. I got bigger, you know, I got more money. I got a bigger house. I got a bigger boat. I got a bigger this and that. And we get into, and that's why the society become very violent, because you can't keep up with the Joneses and you can't keep up with these people. And so you have to turn to other things. And one of the things that I've noticed, especially where I'm at in Mexico, hallelujah, amen, before materialism got a hold of those people, Really, Mexicans were not very vain or so vanidosos. How do you say that? Vain. Amen. Hallelujah. This boy. Hallelujah. Amen. But when materialism got a hold of them, all of a sudden the society changed. People weren't as nice anymore. Or if they're nice to you, it's very superficial. There got to come a time in our lives where we focus on the main thing. I like what Brother Tenney says all the time. That's keep the main thing the main thing. Hallelujah. And the main thing is, how can my life please God? How can I be a light in the midst of darkness? Can you say praise the Lord? And I'm telling you, we're living in the last days, and God is searching for a church, and the world is searching for a church that has a real foundation and a real relationship with God. Let me tell you, they know as well. They know. And you say, praise the Lord. Amen. I got to be careful a lot of times because, man, I'll go into a store with blue jeans and a shirt on. Don't look like a preacher, but I'll go in there and I'll be standing there paying for a soda or something like that. And people will just look at me and say, what church do you pastor? I'm like, whoa, boy, I'm glad I didn't do anything I shouldn't have done. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you think you can hide, you're not hiding. They know who you are. And there is a spirit out there to start mocking, hallelujah, and tearing down what is holy, what is righteous, what is good, hallelujah. And it's your responsibility to say, no, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. There's got to be a conscious effort within you, a decision that I have decided to serve God, come what may. And let me tell you something, that faith will be tested, because faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Amen. And the devil's going to test you in every aspect. Amen. In your children. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, he's going to test you in every aspect. Amen. I've been, hallelujah, my wife and I, my family, we've been, and I'm not trying to get your sympathy. I don't need it. Amen. We have been going through some really major struggles. Amen. Hallelujah. Some major conflicts in the work. Amen. That several things that, hallelujah, I thought were sure foundation. Well, were sure in areas of my life have been severely shaken. Praise God. My wife last summer, I told my girls to go up to my wife and my whole family. They went back up to Canada with her parents. And they were there for 3 months. Because during that time, and I thank God, the two young men, Tyler and Matt, came down. They were there for a while. They were tremendous encouragement and blessing. And I want to thank this church for allowing your young men to go down there and be a blessing to a missionary. That at that time, I was in a tough place. Amen. There were men that were sent to kill me. As a matter of fact, one guy came up and he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. And man, he got me all excited. And I thought, boy, this guy really wants to get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, come on over here. I need to talk to you. And when he had me all alone, I was just there by myself. Amen. He looked at me and all of a sudden his face completely changed. And he just opened his coat. He showed me his gun. He said, I was contracted to come here and kill you today. And don't think I can. I cannot do that. He said, That's why I pulled you aside. I wanted you to see that I am capable of killing you. And he said, and he talked to me, and I mean, boy, when you're in that situation, you know, you start shaking and like, Lord, where's my gun? Amen. And you say, praise the Lord. And I'm like, and all of a sudden, you know, Acts and 2:38s. You know, you're wondering, how am I going to use those 2:38s? Amen. And you say, praise the Lord. And I was there, and he said, there's some people, very wicked people, that you think your friends, that have contracted me. And he told me how much money they paid him. He said, but I don't know why. He said, I have killed many, many men. I am a hitman for the, and he told me one of the cartels. He said, and I don't know why I can't pull this gun right now. He said, I feel nothing. He said, I kill you is like killing a dog. He said, but I just don't know why I can't pull this gun. He said, but I came here to warn you. He said, they have contracted another man, and he is not as scrupulous as I am. And so I just came to tell you to leave. And when he said, leave, I could hear Satan's voice inside of him. And I said, I ain't leaving. God has called me here. And if God called me here, then God is going to keep me here. Praise God. And they're still looking for me. And they might as well come to Alabama and try to look for me. You say, praise the Lord. But there got to come a time where you stand on the convictions that has been grounded in you. And say, I don't care if the world changes. I don't care who changes. I don't know. I'm going to remain faithful to what God has placed in my life. Because there's going to be times where they're going to come into question and questioning the most fundamental things. And one of the first thing, my brother, is holiness. And I thank God you got a good pastor, amen, that will stand in this pulpit, amen, and not seeking favor of men, but will tell you the whole counsel of God. Can you say praise the Lord? When we look at that culture, was a culture of vanities, a culture that did not respect the laws of God, but took things as a mockery. And let me tell you something. Marriage today has become a mockery amongst people. And what we need today, we need strong families and strong marriages. Don't quit. Don't go to the divorce court. Get in the prayer room and say, we're going to make this happen. Hallelujah. We're going to see God make it happen in our life. You say, praise the Lord. One of the places where it starts is in, amen. Thank God for our Pentecostal ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for my wife. She's a good boy. She's a good one for me. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. She just looks at me some way, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what did I do now? You say, praise the Lord. But what we need is good praying Christian ladies. Amen. That will put something in your children. I thank God for a good Christian mother. She's gone to have her reward. But I remember in a time in my life where I was not doing good. I was into drugs and alcohol. And let me tell you something. There's no drinking age in Mexico and Guatemala. Amen. I was doing drugs. I was doing all kinds of stuff. And I would come home at night just completely stoned out of my mind, high as a kite. And I would go lay down, and my mom, she would be waiting for me. And she would come in thinking I was already asleep. I was just acting because I didn't want to hear what she had to say. And you say, praise the Lord. But she didn't want to talk to me anyhow. She got right beside my bed and started praying, God, if he's not going to be a preacher, you take him right now. I was like, whoa. Amen. You say, praise the Lord. And I mean, she kept praying that way every single night. Sooner or later, it clicked. Whoa. But guess what? Look where God has me right now. I remember one time when we were in El Salvador in civil war, and somebody was trying to get into our house, and my mother, she was just a frail blonde lady, and Dad had bought us a BB gun. Man, we were pretty. I mean, we were like cowboys with that BB gun. I mean, I could shoot possums and all kinds of stuff, and she had this BB gun, and this thief was trying to get in, and she went and got us all, and here she was standing by the window with the BB gun, just waiting for that man to come in. Boy, she was gonna tear him up with that BB gun. I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, she just turned and looked at me and my three brothers, and she said, boys, I'm sorry. I'm picking up a weapon that is not going to do anything. Let me show you what is going to protect us. She put that BB gun to one side, and we got down on our knees. We began to pray. We began to seek God's face. We began to cry out to God. And I saw that man turn away and start running. It wasn't that blonde, frail, white girl that was sitting there. No, it was something else. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. That taught me that when I was staring down a hitman for the cartels, I could stand there with every conviction in my life. My mother put it in me when I was 7 years old. That prayer, hallelujah, moves mountains. It will do everything. So what we need is good Christian women and good Christian society, because we're living in the last days. And I don't want the sons of God, amen, to lose out with God on account of a lack, amen, of respect for the things of God. We need good Christian principles and foundations. Praise God. Let's stand. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Praise God. Why don't you just raise your hands and close your eyes and talk to God for a minute. Jesus, we love you and we worship you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised, oh God. Hallelujah. Have your way. Dear Jesus, we pray, have your way, oh Lord. Have your way. Why don't you reach over, put your hand on the person next to you and just pray right now. God, I pray that they'll hold true to their principles, their morals, oh Lord. That they will not stray from, amen, the basic tenets of doctrine and holiness that are spelled out in your word, oh Lord. But that we be a holy people, a righteous people, a people of your name, a people that love your word, people that is respectful, oh God. Amen to such basic principles and tenets spelled out in your word, oh God. In the midst of a dark and dying and sick society, oh Lord, that, amen, we'll have families, hallelujah, marriages that will just shine forth, oh Lord. And let the world know that if Jesus can do it for us, he can do it for you. Oh. Let us be real people, oh God. Relevant people. Oh. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it, church. Let's just worship and talk to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ilobo kosonda rabahaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Why don't we pray right now? I feel, brethren, I feel such an urgency. There's something up. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. There's something major up. And I think more than anything, the church is going to be, especially in America, is going to be under a severe attack. And you're going to come to a point where you're going to even question several basic principles. The Bible says that everything will be shaken. It can be shaken. Everything will be shaken. And there's a quakening. There's a shakening going on right now. And I pray that you just put your hand on the person next to you and say, God, have them tie some things down. Have them nail some things down in their heart. Amen. Nail some things down. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a time of shaking, oh Lord, but let them nail some things down in their heart, their mind, and their spirit. Jesus' name. Siko robo hoshonda rabahai.
Praise God. Why don't we gather down around the altar together? If you're with your family tonight, come as family. If you don't have family, find yourself some here tonight. And if you're an authority in that home, I want you to tell those that are with you. We need to stand strong. The day is going to be a hard day, but God's going to be able. God's going to give us everything we have need of. Tell them, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory. We need some strong women in the house of God. We need strong women in homes. Strong for the kingdom of God. Strong for the word. Strong for truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God is able to do just what he said he will do.
Hallelujah, yes, yes, yes.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. 'Cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Hallelujah. You're able. You're able.
Praise the Lord. Sister Cynthia, come stand right here. And I want some of you ladies to lay your hands on her. That family's going through a valley of trouble. Going to bury a sister, a loved one on Saturday. Would you pray for her? Sister Paula, would you stand there for Andrew tonight? Sister Paula's standing in a place of need tonight. Andrew is as serious as you can get with cancer raging in his body. But God is able, and we believe God. Let's lay hands on Sister Paula and pray for Andrew. Pray for Sister Paula. Somebody lift up Tasha in prayer tonight. Somebody lift up Cynthia Irvin in prayer tonight.
He's gonna fulfill.
Hallelujah.